I asked her specifically where the link with ADHD was, and she said, you know, not only is there a link with ADHD, my daughter has ADHD and she was one of my first patients. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, is she doing better? And she's like, well, she's in an international baccalaureate program now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's doing better.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
Wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people. Hello, Renee. I'm so glad you're back with me today.
Glad to be back, Jenny. We always have a good time.
I know. Well, I want to explain that the reason I asked you back was because you sort of had a miracle in your life since the last show we did. And actually, we did a show together. And then I did a show on vertical heterophoria with Dr. Cheryl Berger Israeloff, and this started like a whole revolution for you, and I wanted to share that whole experience for everyone listening because it's life-changing to find out that you have this.
It absolutely is, and it's funny because Jenny and I talk all the time, so I missed the fact that you had done the show on it and you had posted in Awesome Women with ADHD Business and Sales. And I saw you when you posted there and I was like, well, what is this that she's talking about? And you were saying, you know, there's nausea, there's headaches, there's dizziness. And I'm like, I get nauseous. I have headaches all the time. I have ADHD. Well, maybe I need to sit down and listen to this. And as I was listening to it, I was like, oh man, I've got to take the questionnaire. So I took the questionnaire on a Friday. Saturday, Dr. Debbie, who taught Cheryl how to test for this, called me and said, when you took the questionnaire, when you score a 15 or higher, we know that it's a good likelihood that you might have the condition. You scored a 36.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I said, okay. She said, but the good news is we have a doctor. She said, where are you from? And I said, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, I got to go to New York and, you know, whatever, that's fine. And she said, you're from Pennsylvania. She said, you know, we have a doctor who practices right in Hershey. Well, Hershey's 20 minutes down the road. So I'm thinking, great. So I decided to go ahead and schedule the appointment, especially since it was so close. I think it was that very next week I got in and we did the test. And like Jenny, some of the parts of the test are so wild. Like you see things about yourself that you didn't realize were happening. Like she had me walk down a narrow hallway. I was like, by the time I got to the end of the hallway, I had drifted completely to the left. I didn't even know I did that.
Really?
I had no idea. I was very, very shocked. And she was telling me about, in fact, that's one of the things that I caught on recording. She was telling me about how her daughter says the hallways in her school give her a big issue. And she runs her hand along the edge of the hallway and it keeps her straight as long as her fingers are on the wall. And I was like, I used to always do that, but I just thought it was something that, you know, people do weird things. I never equated it with it being something with my eyes.
Right.
Like weird things. Like when she put the glasses, like they, you know how when you go to the doctors now and they do a refraction exam, they can actually put like a little fake pair of eyeglasses on you. They put the machine on you, but when they're done, they can actually take, it's like that refraction machine, but it's in eyeglass form and have you try it on and walk around with it so you can see if the eyeglasses are correct. When she did that and I stood up for the first time, she said, "How do you feel?" And I said, "I feel taller." And she said, "Yeah, everybody feels taller." But what was most striking, and you heard the clip where I started crying, was how peaceful I felt. And that I was not expecting. Like, my anxiety levels are usually off the chart. And she just had me sit down and told me to, you know, just look out the window. And she said, "Don't want to, you know, don't look at your phone or anything. I want you to look at stuff that's far away." And as I did, I just felt so serene. And when she asked me how anxious I felt, and I really thought about it, I hadn't felt that peaceful for as long as I could remember.
That is so wild.
It, like, just the thought that something like your eyes could have that dramatic of an effect and such a slight difference in the vision. Because it's not like I couldn't see at all. I could see just fine, you know, besides, you know, the normal stuff. I wear contacts, but I've got my contacts on now. The only thing that is different is just this little piece of glass that you can see over my eye. That's the prism. So that adjusts this left eye so that the image is smooth. And my headaches are gone. Like, she said, "How long have you had a headache?" I said, "I think I've had a headache since the fourth grade." Like, I've just always had, even if it wasn't a full-on migraine-style pain, it was like just a low-grade headache all the time. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you just learn how to live with it. The only thing that I can equate it with is the first time that I took Vyvanse. And that was like jaw-dropping for me. And this was jaw-dropping. It was a blessing. When I went in there, I had a raging headache. And by the time I walked out, my headache was almost gone, which is unheard of. Like, usually that'll put me down for the rest of the day.
Right.
And it's been getting worse and worse. And I've been, like, I had FMLA at my last job for my neck. My neck has been jacked up for years. I've got Flexeril. I've got Naxoprin. I've got Soma, like heavy, heavy. Like, I even had, because I got tired of taking the pills, I had my doctor mix a special prescription cream that I could just rub on my neck so I could get away from the medicines.
Wow.
Like, we're talking a lot of time and expense. I went to physical therapy. You know, I'm actually going to make an appointment with my doctor so I can tell her about it, because she's a DO. And, you know, DOs are way more open to stuff like this. Like, she would, for her to know about this, she'll probably try to send a lot of patients up that way, because it's not that far. Dr. Kathy was telling me that when her and Cheryl were in Michigan, patients were flying in from out of the country.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's just amazing that people don't know about this. And when Dr. Cheryl was explaining, you can go to an optometrist and they're not looking for this condition.
Not at all.
This is not the 2020 vision. You can have 2020 vision and still have vertical heterophoria. It's yeah. just wild. So I thought what we'd do is play, because you took in, you went in like a, what?
Like an investigative journalist, right?
I know.
I'm like
what made you do that?
Well, because you and I had said, you know, maybe we'll get together and do a podcast episode later. And I was like, oh yeah, we'll do that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to write a blog about it and we're going to do a podcast episode on it. And I don't want to be thinking, okay, I need to remember this, I need to remember that.
Right.
Let me just record it. Where the recording starts, and the recording's 56 minutes long, I think that was about maybe an hour into the appointment already.
Okay.
So when they say the appointment is not short, it's really not, but you'll enjoy the whole thing. Like, it's not boring. Like, some of that time is spent with you. Like I said, I sat for 20 minutes just looking outside the window, and that gives your eyes a chance to adjust to the prisms and see if it really does make a difference. And oh my God, did it make a difference?
So that's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
You changed my life, Jenny.
Twice. So exciting, right? What? All right. So we're going to play some of this. Okay, here we go.
Like, I'm realizing now, when I let my eyes relax, I see two of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd never had any idea that I was seeing double. I always just thought that the one eye was blurry.
Yeah.
And I allowed it to be like that. I didn't realize I saw double until after I got the glasses, and then I take them off, and now I notice that I see double. But my body was fighting it so hard, and that's why you get a headache, because yes. your body's trying to make things single. It doesn't like things double. It's very disconcerting to see things that are double. And so our bodies are working hard all the time to make them single. And sometimes there are things that have happened in our lives that cause them not to be single anymore. Either a head injury, sometimes a virus, sometimes an inner ear infection.
Oh my God, I got ear infections all the time when I was little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there may be a number of things that actually occurred that started causing you difficulty at a younger age. And then when your body got to a certain point, like maybe when you took that one job where you were working on computers and dual screens, your body said, enough is enough. I can't take this anymore. I've been trying to compensate, and I can't do it anymore. And then it takes, you know, getting to the point where you've found with us, you know, somehow by just getting sick and tired of it and Googling your symptoms and talking to people, and the right people that have connected those symptoms together and found that there's a solution to it. So
I will say, I know for me, with the amount of pain that I was in, it made a huge difference in my levels of concentration. I mean, by the end of the day at work, and that was another thing she pointed out to me. She said a lot of her patients work with dual screen monitors at work. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, my husband does.
So imagine your vision is thrown off like they're describing, and then you're trying to look at two different screens all day long. So when you're in the level of pain that you're in, one of the things that the paperwork she sent me home with described it as is like a neck migraine. And that's about right. Like you feel like somebody's stabbing you in the neck, kind of just all the time.
Oh yeah, I remember when we had the first interview, you were laying down because your mm-hmm. neck hurt so bad.
Yep. And who knew at the time it was going to be like something that was curable, because I thought, you know, this is just it. I'm going to have some good days, I'm going to have some bad days, but you know, this seems to be the level of pain that I'm going to have to be accustomed to. And I was just saying to my mom a couple of weeks ago, you know, I'm only 30 years old and I'm in pain all the time. And I'm just so tired of being in pain. Because when you have chronic pain, you have no energy. Like, all of your energy is focused on surviving the pain. It's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. You just, like, you know, it had negative effects on my marriage. You know, I've got a very high energy husband, and, you know, when we met, I was pretty high energy too. And now he's like, all you do is lay on the couch. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. And that's true. You know, regardless of what the reason is, it is true. That's not what you signed up for. You know what I mean? So that has been hard on everybody. You know, the kids, they want to go do stuff, and it's like, not today, sorry. And, you know, after a while, people start to think, well, you know, are you really in pain, or is it that you just don't feel like doing anything? Are you just lazy? And it's like, oh God, not lazy again. I just got rid of lazy.
Oh man, you're just reminding me too of, like, my mom. She had rheumatoid arthritis. And as a young woman, she, like, in her mid-30s, she was already relegated to the sofa.
Oh my God.
So I don't have childhood memories of playing with mom.
No, and it robs you of that. I've missed, in the past 3 years, I think I've probably missed every family event but ones that I absolutely couldn't avoid. Like, I was the matron of honor in my cousin's wedding. We're practically sisters, so that was not an option to miss her wedding. Like, chronic pain increases your level of distraction too. So you're dealing with chronic pain that's increased by the amount of work that you're doing at a job that's set up in a way that's going to make your pain worse. Like, by the end of the day at work, I would be just in a heap. It'd be like, don't talk to me, don't look at me, don't, nothing. I don't have anything to give to anybody. The only thing I can do is lay down and rest up and hope that tomorrow's a better day. And of course, you know, now I'm out of work for a while. I'm wondering what kind of effect this would have on my life at that job. Like, my quality and my production is low. And a lot of times it would be because I'm in pain. So it just makes me wonder, you know, there's a lot of people with anxiety problems there. Is it anxiety or is it vertical heterophoria? Because that'll make you anxious.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is, well, I just keep saying it. It's life changing.
It is. Like, I can't explain to you how much of my life being in that kind of pain has taken away. And I started experiencing it in 2009. And it's funny because when I started at the job I was at the time, it was single monitors. And right about the time that they switched to dual monitors is probably about the time that the pain started up really badly.
Wow.
That's when my problems with depression got really bad, which is what led to me being re-diagnosed with ADHD. And it's just funny how all of that has tied together. And now I think we finally, like, when you get your ADHD diagnosis and you're like, okay, I treat the ADHD, everything falls into place. And it fell into place for a while, but then the neck pain got really, really bad. And then after the neck pain abated somewhat, then the anxiety got really, really bad. And now with both of them on the decline, I'm feeling like, okay, now maybe we've got something manageable here that isn't so debilitating anymore.
Right. Right. And how nice that it's not a pill.
That's the part that's, it's like I was telling my dad, and of course, none of my relatives understand it. I'm telling my dad, and I'm like, you don't understand. I was crying in the doctor's office, and he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, why don't you remember there being something wrong with my neck? And he's like, oh, well, and it's like, oh, well, if you say something was wrong with your neck, I guess something was wrong with your neck. And it's like, no, I know I told you. And it's, they're just, they're no fun.
Right.
My, the only person who's like, yay, is my mom.
Aw.
Well, that's because, you know, she's seen me laying down for hours at a time.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's just all because it's like, you know, somebody will call and invite me to something and I'll be like, yeah, I'd love to come. And it's the caveat in my mind is always, well, I guess I better see how I'm feeling that day. So,
yeah. How debilitating.
It's awful. By the time the weekend would roll around from the work week, I'd just be, the weekends were spent recovering from the pain that had started up during the week, essentially.
Yep.
Now I know, okay, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just that I needed to go back to physical therapy again. It was just my eyes.
Right. And with the dual screens, I mean, you've just been like,
and making stupid mistakes at work. I mean, when you're, like I said, when you're in that much pain, you just cannot think and you're nauseous and you feel like you're reeling and it's too much. It's too much for anybody to have to deal with. I can see why people fly in from out of the country. It's that bad.
Right.
Like, it's miserable. You ever been seasick?
Yeah.
Imagine feeling like that all the time.
Wow.
Like, just if I didn't have a headache, I was nauseous. If I wasn't nauseous, then my neck hurt.
Right. So, you start to think, oh my gosh, like I'm just falling apart.
Well, I was starting to think I was a hypochondriac.
Right.
I'm like, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. There's just nothing else wrong with you. You just need to pull yourself together. There's nothing wrong. You got your ADHD diagnosis. You got the anxiety diagnosis. You know, the depression is under control. You need to chill out somewhere. I don't know why you're sick all the time, but you just need to pull it together and move on. Then you start to feel really bad because you can't move on because you feel like crap.
Right.
And that's when I just started to think, well, maybe this is just the life I'm going to have.
Right. Well, so now I want to play some more of this. Does that help?
This is good.
Okay. And I see right here that you have a scar there. Was that from an injury?
Yeah. It was when, when I was a little kid, I was at daycare and I was playing Superwoman, and I was playing on concrete stairs, and I decided, this is too much imagination for a little kid. Mm-hmm. I decided I was going to test my superhuman strength by trying to break the concrete stair, so I bashed my head into the concrete stair, and now I have a scar forever and all time.
So it's possible you might have had a concussion at that time?
I may have. You never know.
Okay.
You know what? I don't know if they even looked into that. I remember them holding me down to stitch my eye up.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and you'll remember that one.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't matter how young you are, you'll
my
remember
poor
that.
Mother.
I'm just going to keep playing it for a minute.
Go for it.
And that's another thing. Now I'm finding when I start to, when I'm reading for too long, or, you know, I crochet and I knit, and when I'm doing that for too long, I'll start to feel motion sick. Uh-huh. Why?
Because all of it's pulled in together. The eyes, the ears, and how we feel in space, our core, all of that comes in, is all connected.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, it's awful. And it's like everything I like to do, I can't do because it makes me sick.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things she suggested during the podcast is that I close one eye and do a 5-minute test.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the muscles in my neck start to relax, and I said, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. That's almost instantaneous proof that something's going to help you.
Yes.
When you're looking out there now, what do you see?
I see a red dot and a white dot, and they're kind of like jumping
around.
What was she doing there?
There was a series of dots. There was one dot and there was a dashed line. And I was supposed to be able to tell her when the line was going through the dot. And the thing about it was the line would not stay, it wouldn't stay still. That was partially because what made the exam a little bit difficult to take was that I had to keep fighting my eyes, because my eyes are trying to focus and make this look normal. And I'm trying to tell her based on, you know, my eyes being relaxed.
So right.
If there's a point in the exam where I tell her, you know, I'm trying to see what you're suggesting, but my eyes keep trying to focus, and we had to take a break for a while because my eyes were insistent upon going, no, this isn't supposed to be 2 images. This is 1. We're going to fix it. Just hang in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It was freaky. Like, until attention was called to it, I didn't realize it was happening. But then, you know what's funny? I was thinking about, remember those magic eye things that were all the rage and everybody loved them? And so many people, like, couldn't see them. I could always see those.
Yes, I could see. If I would relax, I unfocus my eyes.
Yeah.
I could see it. But it took me a little bit.
Yep, you kind of have to let your eyes just kind of chill out. And then once they did.
Yep. So you could chill out like that because they weren't focused anyway.
Yeah. Now I'm like, damn it, we should have known something was wrong with the magic. I should have known it wasn't just because I was really awesome. No, it's because your eyes were messed up, girl.
Wow. That's so, right. Oh,
the
my
one
gosh.
Time I can do something really cool when it's because my eyes are completely screwed.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. This makes so much sense now.
Yeah. Doesn't everything always make sense in hindsight?
It really does.
Okay. We're going on.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have you stand up. Step away from the chair a little bit. When you stand up, how do you feel?
Taller.
Do you know what the number one response is when they stand up?
What?
That they feel taller.
Are you serious?
What we're going to do now is we're going to have you have a seat in the waiting area.
Okay.
And everybody that comes here wears these glasses, so you don't have to feel strange or anything.
I don't.
They match your dress.
Thank you.
So you can come on out. If you wanted to bring your purse, you can.
Okay.
We're just going to be sitting out here for, and you can bring your phone too if you want.
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting out here for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then we're going to recheck your vision.
Yes, we did. We just received your frames. And
as I'm gazing out into the distance, I feel like my eyes are relaxed. I can feel like my sinus area with less pressure, and it's relaxing, and I really kind of feel like crying.
Let's see what this says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are you feeling while you're sitting
here? Amazing. The nausea's gone.
Okay.
This is like, I'm trying not to cry. This is crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
This is absolutely like the best thing that's happened to me in a very long time.
Let's have you come back.
Okay.
Test it out a little bit more. I'm going to watch you walk. So,
this is crazy. Thank you.
And I'm going to have you walk down the hallway.
Dear God in heaven. I can't believe this.
You're hearing a little bit, but not like you were before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And it's not because I'm just aware that I was doing it before?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just so, it sounds like so many aha moments were going off for you.
Big time. Like, until attention was called to it, I think any irregularities that I saw in my vision, I attributed to the fact that I have astigmatism and just assumed like, whatever. It's because my eyes are misshapen or whatever it is when you have astigmatism, and it's not that big of a deal, and just would go on about my business. But it never occurred to me that something really abnormal was going on with my eyes, because all the pain was in my head and
right.
my neck.
Right, right. It's not in your eye, right?
Not at all. Like every once in a while, like the headache would be in this area, like in the area above the eyebrows, or at the back of the neck. Like not, it's the kind of headache that would make you say, I'm stressed, mm-hmm. not my eyes are jacked.
Right. Right. Okay. Hold on.
Your one shoulder's lower than the other. Do you go to a chiropractor?
I used to. Gave up on it when it didn't relieve me enough.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so she starts here with this line of thinking.
Did you hear? One shoulder is lower than the other. I'm like, what am I, Quasimodo? Am I like lumbering down halls?
Yeah, that's rough. It's really rough. It's like, wait a minute.
And it does feel like that. It feels like your whole body is leaning to one. You feel like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And again, I just assumed, your neck's screwed up. That's, you know, that's just how it is, kids. Sorry.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is why I was so, I'm like, maybe this is why I don't dance. Maybe this is why I didn't play sports after a while. It made me think of so many different things. Like, maybe I'm not really uncoordinated. Maybe it's just my eyes.
Mm-hmm. How about driving?
You know what? I'm actually a really good driver, which I know is unusual for people with ADHD, but I've noticed with driving in the past couple of years that when it comes to parallel parking, that I've gotten bad at it. And I was always a good parallel parker. My dad taught me how to parallel park. And he's a fantastic driver. Like both my parents are actually. I found that when I would turn my head, the amount of turning of the head you have to do mm-hmm. to get your car in there properly, I'd get dizzy. So I would try to do it without turning my head so much. So it became a problem. It's like,
right.
You know, you don't realize how something so small can become a problem until all of those little problems add up to be a big one.
Yeah. Let's see what this is.
Sometimes we use the current glasses prescription to test the eyes
and put Prism over top of them, but because you don't have your glasses with you, that's okay. We'll just make a pair. So what we do...
Wow, she's really good, huh?
Isn't she? She was so thorough.
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute.
And my eyes are not crossed right now.
When I'm looking at you, it can be a very slight amount. When I'm look, I can see your one eye's trying to focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell that it's trying.
My eyes were not crossed at all. Like, to see two of everything, I'm like, my eyes have to be headed off. And
no, that, they were only a slight amount, yeah. And that's the thing, I never even noticed it. You know, you want to look straight ahead out there. And when I do this, what we're looking for is to see if you're more comfortable.
So what was she... What do you mean your eyes were crossed? You thought you had crossed eyes?
It felt like what I was looking at that point, it felt like my eyes were completely crossed. Like the way that you see when your eyes are crossed, that double kind of sensation, that's what it looked like for me when my eyes were completely relaxed. Like I just took my glasses off. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like my eyes are crossed.
Wow.
That's what my eyes do when they relax. And that's why I kept asking her, like, are you sure? Like, you can see my eyes. I can't.
Right.
You're telling me that my eyes are not crossed.
Right.
And she was saying to me, no, your eyes are not crossed. And I'm like, but I feel like my eyes are crossed.
Right, because they were relaxed and they're not on the same vertical thing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, here we go.
Now she's going to ask me the 1 through 10.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a series of a few questions. When you were looking outside, how did things look?
Clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just felt like... It's going to sound weird, but I just felt like an elevated mood. Like, look what a nice day it is. It's really nice outside. Like, I just felt so serene and relaxed. Is that normal?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's almost instantaneous for most people.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so on a scale of 0 to 10, how dizzy do you feel right now?
I don't feel dizzy.
Okay, how nauseous are you?
Hardly at all.
Maybe a 1 or a 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Anxiety?
Like a 2 or a 3.
Amazing, isn't it? How much of a headache do you have from 0 to 10?
It's almost gone.
And your neck ache?
It's like a 4.
Great.
A 4 from a 10.
Difficulty, sensitivity, not much, and breathing. So, when you scored with Dr. Debbie, those 0 to 10 things, you were a 56. When you came in today, it was 10, 29, upwards of 40. Right now, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh my gosh!
So you went from 56 to a 7 in 25 minutes.
Oh my God!
Incredible.
I can't believe it!
I can't even believe it.
You and I still can't believe it. It's like, you know, it's just crazy.
It is. Look at me. I'm crying.
Oh, Jenny.
I'm like, it's just so wonderful.
I mean, to not be in pain is like it's the best.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I've got my life back.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, you got to go reclaim your life.
Absolutely. without being miserable. And, you know, she was like, oh, well, you can't put them in contact. I don't care about these contacts. I will throw these contacts in the trash and never wear them again as long as I don't have to be in pain.
Yeah, right.
Now, she did say that her daughter, when she went to the amusement park, she wore her contacts for the day and she went home halfway through the day because she didn't feel good because, you know, her eyes were jacked up all day long. And I said, I will go get you can get the sports goggles. I'll get some of those for amusement parks. I don't go that often to them anymore anyway.
I just think, you know, for the medicine to be in the glasses is just awesome.
It's incredible. Like I'll have to go round them up so you can see how many bottles of medicine I have around this house for my neck specifically. Like, the neck was the hardest part for me. The headaches were bad, but the neck pain, especially after a day of work, was almost unbearable. Like, you're like sometimes suicidal ideation levels of pain. Like, and you just learn to stop talking about it because nobody wants to hear about how miserable you are all the time.
Right. Well, I thank you for sharing this. It is just been, I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you. And I owe it all you. I never, ever, ever would have known about this.
I said, I think that was probably my most, you know, I think all the podcasts are valuable. Don't get me wrong. They're all valuable in their own way. If they speak to someone about a certain issue or just let them feel like they're not alone in their, the way we are in the world. But that was probably like, I mean, to actually be able to give a voice to this whole vertical heterophoria, like, and how it relates with ADHD. I mean, there's just so many people that don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think I could talk about it enough.
It's, never would have known.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I think it needs its own podcast at this point. You know, there's a Facebook group. I've been meaning to tell you. I keep forgetting.
Oh, no, I didn't know. That's wonderful.
Yep. There's a Facebook group, and that one's, the Facebook group is run by Kathy. And of course, she gave me the links to Cheryl's blog.
Yep.
So,
and I'll put those in the show notes.
Absolutely.
As well for this show. So that if you're listening and this sounds like, you know, like your story, that there's help. And Renee is here to illuminate the whole thing for us. I mean, just the experience of going to the doctor and what it was like. And it's just, we all know the result is earth change, you know, earth shattering, changing, whatever. But like the actual process itself was painless. And
oh yeah, it was really pleasant.
Yeah.
And when they say you'll get relief right in the doctor's office, you do. That's the most amazing part.
Yeah. That's
to
cool.
Know that when you leave, you're not leaving in pain anymore.
Right. Yay.
Make sure you take your glasses so they have something to clip it to.
Right. I heard her say that and you didn't bring your glasses. You're like, yeah.
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to bring them. I don't even know where they are. I haven't worn them in like 3 or 4 years.
Right. Well, that's a whole nother thing with the ADHD and, you know, the losing of the glasses. You don't want to lose these.
No, no. Listen, when you get rid of that pain, you'll know not to lose anything.
Right.
Like, it's not going to happen.
Right, right. Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, thank you again. And you have to write about this.
I'm going to, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. And I will share all of your links as well in the podcast show notes, because if you haven't caught Renee yet, go see her at blackgirllostkeys.com.
That's,
and she's
right.
On Twitter. We tweet one another all the time.
At Rosie Trellis, you'll find me.
At Rosie Trellis. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.